Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Where we're at. I'm sorry. If there are some silences this morning, it's because I'm trying to work things out as we go along. But can I just invite, can you stand with me, actually, for a moment? My question to us is, how free can we become this morning? How free can we become? How free can we become in Christ this morning? So all I'm going to do is, why don't we just pray in tongues together for a moment? And if you think, oh my word, that's just like really scary. Okay, well, fair enough, it is a little bit better. We'll just go for it anyway. But do you know, we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into this place, and we're going to say, Jesus, how free can you make me this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit work? Because we're going to look at the story of the Red Sea this morning. It's the best story of liberation that you could ever find. A whole bunch of people, millions of people, moving from being slaves to being sons and daughters of God. And you look at how they were just like the most moany bunch of people in the world. They're this slave mentality. And yet God took them through a Red Sea, bang! They became sons and they were free. How free can Jesus make us this morning? So, can I just say, if you pray in tongues, we're just going to pray in tongues out loud together, okay? Let's abandon any sense of being embarrassed about it. We'll just go for it for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll say amen and we'll sit down, okay? That's what we'll do, okay? You ready? Let's go. Koi arada baba koro dostoi arada baba rada kiri arada ha. Hoi arada baba rada kiri arada storo dostoro da ha. Kiri arada baba rada koro dostoro da koro da rada ha. Kiri arada baba rada koro dostoro da koro da rada ha. Koro dostoi arada ha. Holy Spirit, we invite you, Lord, into this place this morning. I pray that you would set us free. Lord, I pray that any of us who are held by demonic strongholds, we pray bring liberty to us this morning, we ask. God, I pray set us free. How free can you make us this morning? And Holy Spirit, we invite you in. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Freedom, we pray, O Lord. I pray any addictions, O God, that you would deal with, you would set us free. Any times when we've partnered with Satan, we say, come, set us free this morning. I don't mean to sort of overly scare people, but just to dive straight in. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking with a number of guys addicted to pornography. And God is breaking people free. They've been partnering with Satan, actually. You know, when they've been watching other people having sex with somebody else, they've been partnering with Satan and some demonic stronghold has come on them. And we say, now in Jesus' name, be free. Just as you freed the Israelites when they came through the Red Sea, God, we pronounce freedom over us. We say, come on, Lord, do a mighty work within us. Jesus, any addiction, any stronghold, any demonic influence, we say, break us free. Break us free, we pray, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Okay, sit down. We're going to have fun. What I've said to Angela is, okay, that Angela is an amazing prophetic lady. I've said, when I'm preaching, we're doing this together this morning, but she doesn't really know it. But at some point, Angela's going to wave, and it's because she feels she's got something from God. I'm going to stop. And Andrew's going to take over, share what God's got for her, and then I'm going to sit down. If you don't speak in tongues, okay, and you thought, who was that person? Were they speaking, like, I don't know, Arabic or something like that? What weird language was it? Just have a look in the Bible, okay? It talks about speaking in tongues. When you run out of words yourself, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives you a language that enables you to speak and you can communicate with your heart to God. Have a look in the Bible. The earth is going to tremble this morning. The sea's going to part. The other thing is, when I came in this morning, it's the first time I've been into, like, the, you know, what do you call the little place down there where all the fake grass is? Outside. The outside market. The centre, okay, whatever it is, yeah. And it's the first time I've seen that really big angel. You know, it's been restored. You know, it used to look slightly differently. But when you go in there now, it looks much more sort of like imposing. And I just thought God spoke to me and said, no, look, I've put an angel over you. I put an angel over you. And how many people have ever sort of laid a fleece out in, you know, and asking God to guide you? You know, have you seen it in the Bible? One person, okay. Somebody, it talks about Gideon laying out a fleece, and if something happened, God would guide him. Do you know, it talks in the Bible about laying a fleece out one time. Do you know how many times it talks in the Bible about angels? Hundreds. Hundreds of times. And then it talks about angels speaking to them. Don't try and worship angels, because they get a little bit angry if you try and do that. They don't like it. But you know, there is this sense of, no, there is an angelic presence over us. And then we have angels protecting us and guarding us. And God's going to stir something up. God's going to stir something in the prophetic for us, so that not just we're made to feel nice, you know, but actually we are free people to bring the kingdom of God in this area. Right. We're going to shift something from, I need a slave culture shifted within me. You know, where I just do what I'm told and moan about it. God's going to shift me to a place of sonship and daughter. I know what God is thinking. All those songs that we were led in this morning, that Lloyd led us in. You know, like, no, it was like, no, God is doing something. God is doing something and actually becoming sons and daughters of the living God. Right, okay, so we get to the Bible. Let's go. Can you look at Exodus chapter 13? Is it all right, Sam? Hey. It's off, slightly off the top, but don't worry about it. If the pictures don't quite align with where we're going, just ignore the pictures. But God is going to do something. Let me read this story of the children of Israel. We're going this series of Moses. I'm not going to recap where we've got to, but Exodus 13, the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearby. For God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people round the way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt, equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones with you from here. I'm not really sure why that bit's in there, but anyway, they did. And they moved on from Succoth, a place called Succoth, and encamped at a place called Etam, not to be mistaken with Eltham, on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night he led them with a pillar of fire, that they might travel both by day and night. And the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night didn't depart from them before the people. And so we've got this story of the children of Israel, like finally Pharaoh has let them come out of Egypt. And then they say, right, we're going. He said, okay, you can go off into the wilderness to pray. But then God doesn't take them the direct route. You think, why not? Come on, God. Have you ever been in a sat-nav? Or no, even worse, my neighbour was a cabbie. And he used to say to me that the worst thing that anybody could come and say when he's in his cab is, oh, I wouldn't go this way, mate. There's a quicker way. And but when you, if you ever take a taxi or something like that, you think, they're only going this longer way to try and get more money out of me. And you don't really trust them, so you say, yeah, I think you know. But the children of Israel, there was a direct route that God could have taken them from here to there. He didn't. He said, I'm going to take you through the Red Sea. Weird. Okay, so the children of Israel got to the edge of the Red Sea. Pharaoh then said, hang about. I don't want the children of Israel to go. We're ruined. If they go, who's going to do all the work? We're ruined. And then Pharaoh sort of like woke up and he, no, stop, get them all back. Get all those children of Israel that sort of like walked out into the wilderness. He said, no, I need them back because they've got to do all the work. We're just going to be, if we don't have anything to do it, get them all back. So he tried. So what Pharaoh did, he says, right, Get the army, send them out after them. Get them to come back. And then we get to Exodus chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 10 to 30. When Pharaoh and his armies drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians were marching after them. They're trying to get them back. And they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, is it because they are moany people? Hands up if you ever like to moan. Okay, hands up if you're being dishonest. Okay, right, okay. So I tell you what, these were moaners. They were like class A moaners, okay? They got a slave mentality. They really like to moan. And then they said to Moses, oh, Moses, is it because there's no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in the wilderness? What have you done bringing us out of Egypt? Is it not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Sometimes you do want to slap people, don't you? Anyway, that's not what I know. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall never see again. Okay, that's called freedom. That is called freedom. The Lord will fight for you. You've just got to be silent. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the people to go forward. It's like saying, Moses, stop just moaning. Stop being on your face. I think actually he was saying, Moses, stop praying and do what I've told you to do. Get on with it. Like all this stuff that Adrian was talking about, disciple making, making disciples. Like, we don't have to pray about it. That's what he's told us to do. Sometimes we just need to get on. Anyway, sorry. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of Egyptians so that they go in after them, and I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I've gained glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 19. Then the angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud and there was darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. The presence of God basically separated Israel from Egypt in between them. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And in the morning watch, the Lord of the pillar of fire and the cloud looked down on the Egyptians' forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove really heavily. And the Egyptians said, ah! And then they said, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against us. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch your hand over the sea again, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled into it. And the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them to the sea. Not one remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their left and on their right. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power of the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and they believed the Lord and in his servant Moses. Right, that was quite a long passage to read. But sometimes you've got to get something of the story about what was going on. The first point that I want to make is, and I don't know if it comes up, if you can make it, is this. Follow the cloud. Whatever it takes. Wherever it takes you, whatever it tells you to do, follow the cloud. That's what we have to learn how to do that. Now, it's not actually all that easy, to be honest, sometimes. I wonder, you know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, do you think there was just one cloud? You know those like cartoon clouds when it just rains on one person? You know, and you think, I'm just following. Was it just, I don't know. I don't know whether it was just one cloud. But all I know is this, that the Israelites, they had to learn to see that is the cloud that we're following. And, it talks about in the Bible, it says, Jesus, look, you learn my voice. My sheep learn my voice. You know, if you go on Instagram, it says loads of things. It says, follow your dreams. I don't know why that's in an American accent, but it is. Follow your dreams. And it says all loads of other things. And you get all these like nice little Instagram things about follow your dreams. But you don't get many things on Instagram that says, be a sheep. You just don't. You don't, because like sheep. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. You know what the early church were called? They were just called followers. No, and the thing is, not many of us just want to be a follower, you know? In fact, it was just knocked off this, there's an article today. What used to be the most popular song at any funeral? Frank Sinatra singing? Go on, give us one line of it, Colin. There is another Sid Vicious version of that I preferred, to be fair. But like, anyway, that shows my age, okay? But everybody wants to say, no, I did it my way. Nobody told me what to do. No, but that is the opposite of what it is to be a Christian. That's exactly the opposite. No, as a Christian, we're told, no, know what Jesus is saying and be count it pure joy to be a follower. Count it pure joy to be identified with the sufferings of Christ. Follow Jesus. That's what we have to do. Who knows where God will take us? But we have to, as we grow in being Christians, the Israelites had to learn that's the cloud to follow, and that's the fire. Is that a bit of, I don't know, is that a bit of lightning over there, or is that the fire? I'm not sure. No, that's the fire. That's the way that we're going to go. Like, there's loads of cloud. No, that's the cloud that we're going to follow. We have to grow in maturity and think, oh, no, this is the voice. You know, there are probably three spirits that we could end up following, aren't there? Human spirit, demonic spirits, the Holy Spirit. And do you know what? We just have to learn, okay? No, that is just a human spirit. That is just like my own desire. That is demonic. That is taking me to a place of death and destruction. And this is the Holy Spirit. The one that is perhaps slightly more challenging, but it brings life and joy. Do you know, we just got to learn the differences. And I have a growing sense that I think every one of us has some area of sort of demonic influence in our lives. I know it's a little bit tricky to say that. Years ago, I was healed of a fish allergy. The most extraordinary allergy. I probably mentioned it before. And the very brief story is this. I used to carry EpiPens around me. At one point, I ate seafood soup by mistake, went into anaphylactic shock. This nurse was getting ready to do an emergency tracheotomy because everything was sort of like closing up. And then they were just pumping me through of, what is it, antihistamines, because I didn't have an EpiPen with me. It was like, it was pretty scary at the time, to be really honest with you. My eyelids went like, bleh, were really puffy, and it was all here. Anyway, I had a serious allergy to fish. And then I went to a meeting. I read something in the morning about Jesus healing the centurion's daughter. And then somebody stood up and said, God healed me of some intolerances and allergies. God's going to do the same again. This guy said, okay, I'll come and pray for you. A friend of mine who I've always been on holiday with And he knew that I couldn't touch fish. He said, get up there and get prayed for. And I think, no, it's fine. I've lived with it all my life. It's fine. I can cope with this fish allergy. He said, no, get up there. Get and pray for it. So he prayed for me. I told you, something demonic came out of me. I'd been leading a church for probably 15 years. Do you know what I mean? That was scary. And I thought, the reason I knew something demonic came out of me, because I honestly thought I was going to be sick. Not just feeling a little bit icky. Do you know what? I thought I was going to do this explosive vomit. And it was a leadership meeting, you know, with all the other New Frontiers leaders. And I thought, man, this is going to be so embarrassing if I'm prayed for. Okay, and then But I tell you what I did. I vomited up some demonic thing over my life when somebody laid hands on me. And it manifested itself in allergies, you know, for, I don't know, decades in my life. Sometimes we need to... All I'm saying is that you know, we really happily pray, you know. Today, just think it on a demonic influence on your life. If you've allowed a demonic... And I think particularly I'm just acutely aware of it at the moment and talking to a number of different guys, but I'm aware it affects girls as well. You know, the whole thing of pornography. Like... It's such a clear demonic stronghold, you know, in our lives. So clear. And actually, not all phone operators are demonic, by the way. We just need to get that right. But they have made a real effort to make pornography acutely available to anybody, anywhere. But what happens is that when we get caught up in that, we allow this demonic influence. We partner with something that is so wrong. But I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty. I'm saying that to say this. God's here for freedom. Come on. Yeah, freedom from all that nonsense. Freedom from all that garbage. And sometimes with demonic stuff, the more attention you give a demon, the bigger it gets in our lives. No, we just deal with it. Say, go in Jesus' name. And then we'll get on with worshipping Jesus. Break those strongholds over our lives. By the way, whenever you talk about pornography and stuff like that, you do know that everybody just looks at the floor, don't you? But you think, oh, it's fine. But somehow God's bringing freedom to us. Follow the cloud. This is what I need to work out. Where are we getting to in our notes? Yeah. You know, when we give our lives to Jesus, we sometimes say, Jesus, come into my life. We do say that, don't we? I have said that so many times. You know, and we stand there and say, okay, Jesus, I recognize that you're the Lord of my life. Come into my life. And that's fine. I think it's good. But do you know there's a better way of saying it, I think? And saying, no, Jesus, I am joining your kingdom. It's not just about you coming and living within me, although that is true, and I'm not denying that. But actually, when you say, Jesus, no, I am joining your team. I'm in your kingdom now. I'm going to live for you. It's not actually what I want to do. It's about what you want to do, how you want to come and shape my life. It's not about me getting my own way. And, you know, sometimes in church, I've been like really guilty of this in church life. I think, I just want to get my way. I want to do things what I want to do. And whenever you get into that place of you thinking, Jesus, please just let me do it my way. Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem mocks us. Because Jesus... the king of all the earth. He's just riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He looked pathetic. He looked so stupid. No, this is the King of Kings. He's coming to bring salvation and freedom to all of us. And he's just riding on a little donkey. Like pooing on the floor. All that. I don't know. But he mocks us. He's saying, no, it's not about getting your own way. It's about humility coming in. We're part of Jesus' kingdom. Following Jesus. I love the verse in Colossians 3 that says this. For you have now died. And your life is what? Hidden in Christ. God, please. Would you take me to that place where I'm happily to say, Jesus, I am dying. Because I want to know the joy of my life being hidden in you. And that's freedom. lovely people. That's freedom that I need to know. That's freedom that we need to know, that our lives are hidden. That's why, to be honest, that when, and I may have mentioned this before, but in the early church, lots of people like died with these words on their lips. Jesus is Lord. Because they refused to say that anybody else was Lord of their lives. They refused it. They just said, no, Jesus is Lord. I think you should say Caesar is Lord. No, Jesus is Lord of my life. How many times, with a lot of my non-Christian friends, in all sort of like, and I probably have a growing group of non-Christian friends, good friends. And they think I'm absolutely medieval. They think that I'm absolutely like nutty to say, no, I will do what Jesus wants me to do in my life rather than what I want to do in my life. It's madness to them. But Jesus is the Lord of my life. How can we follow Jesus? How can we follow the work of the Holy Spirit? Just really practically. If you think, oh, I want to follow the cloud. I want to just do whatever. How do you do that? Well, one, spend time with people that you know love Jesus. That's a really good way. That's the way that I've really learned. You know, like just this last week, I was getting really moany at I don't really know why. I just was having a moany couple of weeks. And I just thought, no, Duncan, stop it. And then I looked online and I found some conference. I thought, I'm just going to go there. And I just went to some conference because I wanted to be with people that just loved Jesus more than I did. And I just, I'll do anything, Jesus. Get me back to that place of loving you. Sing songs that talk about Jesus more than it talks about us. Some of the songs we sung this morning, I love them. Because it's not all about me and what I want and God coming. No, it's about Jesus, what Jesus has done. Just declare it. Sing those songs. Read your Bible every day. And don't read, please, don't read your Bible because you think, okay, well, it's the morning. I must read my Bible. And I must read my allocated verses. Here we go. No, read the Bible because God wants to whisper to your life. And when you hear the whisper of God, talk back to him. And say, ask him. When you hear him whisper, just whisper back to him. Say, come on, what do you mean by that? And then after a while you find out, oh, I'm praying. That's what prayer is. It's just talking back to God. Sounds a bit rude, doesn't it? Don't talk back. Well, God is saying, no, talk back to me. Talk back to me. Whoever at school was told, don't talk back. Just put your hand up. In Jesus' name, I cast out that spirit. I cast it out. No, God's saying, talk back to me. Ask me. Come see what I've got for your life. Come and invite the Holy Spirit to speak with you, to break addictions over your life. When you feel the Holy Spirit nudging you to say something, do something, go somewhere, sit on a certain seat in a cafe, go and get your hair cut, go and get your nails. I don't know what it is, but when you feel the nudge of the Spirit, just go and do it. Who knows what God is going to use you? Right, sorry. What time do we finish? 12, okay. I'm going to skip through all this. I'm going to skip through. Can I just tell you one story that I think is quite funny? I was in Pentonville prison this week and did a Bible study. Actually, no, it was 2 weeks ago. Did a Bible study with a bank robber. Just so you know, he wasn't a bank robber. He put like a pair of tights over his head and went up with a sawn-up shotgun. But what he did was he got a load of oxyacetylene tanks and strapped them either side of a cash point and blew it up, basically. Blew them up. And then he got a pickup truck and he connected it to the cash point, took it away. And sadly, he's now on a terrorist sort of like charge because he caused an explosion in a public place. But he said he wasn't. He was just trying to get a bit of money. But anyway, he's slightly warped. But he was talking about chapel. There's no chapel in prison at the moment. It's just starting again. But he said, oh, Duncan, please, can we get back to chapel? Because I won't say exactly what he said, but he said, I feel effing amazing when I go to chapel. And I just thought, oh, that's the rawness, do you know, of what God is doing in our life. And then we did this Bible study, like the Bible studies that Adrian was talking about, and you're thinking, oh, we did this Bible study, and we were talking about, we did this Bible, and he said, yeah, after that, Duncan, I feel effing amazing now. Well, come on, we want more people feeling effing amazing, changing us. Well, not necessarily all the lamb, but you think, I don't care about that. But what I want is heart set on fire for Jesus. Because he found peace there. He might find another way to explain it, like in years to come, but I don't care. No, peace in Christ. Coming to bring a change to our community. Why? Okay, we need to move on. Why did God take the children of Israel to the Red Sea? How did he want to bring freedom through the Red Sea? Trusting him. It wasn't the most direct route. I tell you what it was. In Corinthians, Paul says this, that the Israelites were baptized in Moses. If you want to know the verse, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. The Israelites were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Pharaoh had not let the Israelites go. Moses had gone to him and said this, please can we go into the desert to pray and offer sacrifices? Pharaoh got so fed up, he said, look, just go. He thought they were just going to go into the wilderness. But he had that moment, didn't he? He realized, they're not coming back. We thought they were just, no, they're not going to come back. But everything changed at the Red Sea. They were saved when the blood of that pass of the lamb was spread on their doorposts. That saved them. That saved them because at that point they were sort of like judgment passed over them. Killed all the Egyptian firstborn. But they were saved at that point with the blood of that Passover lamb spread on that doorpost. The angel of death passed over them. They found freedom in the Red Sea because all their enemies were defeated at that point. At that point. And that's why it says in the passage that we read, Moses said to all the people in the morning, look at all those dead Egyptians. And they said they were just scattered all over the seashore. Look at them. They're defeated. Look at that dead Egyptian of pornography. Look at that dead Egyptian of addiction. Look at all those dead things. I have won a victory in your life. And it changed them. At the Dead Sea, they were no longer slaves because all the Egyptians were dead. And I think that's one of the reasons why, lovely people, baptism is really important. Because you can get saved. You can give your life to Jesus in your room. You can give your life to Jesus like on the bus. You can give your life to Jesus in the quietness of your home. You can give your life to Jesus at the end of a meeting and you put your hand up and say, yeah, I'm going to give you my life. You're the Lord of my life. But you know, often freedom comes when we get baptized. And that is when often you end up, when Jesus was baptized, what happened? A lot of temptation. That's when the enemy gets really, really aggy because he thinks, oh, this person's gone public. And that is why baptism is really important. I can just imagine sort of like all the Israelites, they woke up in the morning and they saw all the Egyptians on the dead and they went, you're not my master anymore. I don't have to do you because you're dead. I don't have to obey you. God is bringing that freedom to us today. Right. Sorry, we're going to move on. I skipped over a few things, but just where are we at to on there? Can you go forward one, Sam?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's a picture of Jill, my wife. No, it's not, to be fair. Just so you know, it's not Jill. The Israelites, so you know, they were master moaners, weren't they? They had a doctorate, degrees coming out of there is about moaning. Because all their lives, they'd had to do what they'd been told. And if they didn't do what they're told, they sort of, that's it, end of your life. All the time they just moaned and grumbled. They had a slave mentality. Okay, so just so you know, God had just taken them through the Red Sea. Pretty spectacular account, okay? And if you look at it, it talked about an east wind separating the sea, and you think, you look it up on, you know, Google, people have said, oh, technically it could be possible, you know, that actually these winds could come and separate the sea. So you're thinking, you know, geographically it's possible that God did it. But God did a miracle at that point. They came through the other side. We're not going to read the verses because we haven't got time. They came through the other side on dry ground. What did they start doing? We haven't got any water. What are you doing, Moses? I thought you were going to look after us. Oh, I hate you. Oh, I can't believe it. Like, no, I'm not going to do that accent. Yeah, can I, yeah. Like, is it, dude? Yeah, we haven't got any food, has it, no? Like, we haven't got any food, and then you give us some food, and we don't even like it. Sorry. But they just said no, and they said, look, okay, yeah, we're thirsty. Oh, well, you don't give us any, Moses, you don't give us any water. And then they sort of like, and then God gave them water. And they said, yeah, but we haven't got any food now. We're all really, really hungry. And then God gives them food. And then that they say is, oh, yeah, but the food is really boring and we don't like it. So God gives them some other food as well. And then he said, oh, yeah, and Moses and Aaron, we hate you because you don't look after us. They just moaned all the time, moaning. Stop. And I just need to say, you know, put your hands up if you like a good moan. And just to sort of like to, as I was like preparing this a few days ago, I just thought, okay, God, you have to show me about what this means about moaning. And then I realized about an hour before, I had a really big moan to one of our other elders in the church at Trinity about some other elders in another church that weren't really helping us as I wanted them to help us. And I was thinking, yeah, why do they do it? Like, they said they'll do this, and yet they're not doing it. And then I read this, and I thought, oh, yeah, I can preach it, but I'm not really a moaner. And just when God said to me, no, Duncan, you are a moaner. You are a moaner. It's all about having a slave mentality. And I think if I knew the impact sometimes of my moaning, I might think differently. There are two types of moaning. One, there's the moaning that we do to ourselves and we do to other people. Look, let's not beat about the bush. You're partnering with Satan. If you're moaning and you're just complaining, I'm sorry to say this, and I say it to myself as well, I am partnering with Satan, because I'm ripping things down and I am criticizing Jesus' beautiful bride. Next time you want to moan, and next time I want to moan, imagine your daughter or your best friend walking down the aisle. They've been looking forward to this moment for years and years and years. And you see them, they've invested, they've got this most beautiful dress on. They just look radiant. And everyone turns around, you know, sometimes they do in the church. And then they see this, like, vision of beauty coming in. And you turn around and you say, well, I don't like those shoes. They're a bit awful, aren't they? Don't like them. Do you like them? I don't like them at all. Awful. Got bad breath as well, isn't she? It's awful. That's what you're doing. You're just pulling stuff down. And you're pulling stuff down, and I think I realize sometimes how destructive it can be when I moan either to myself or when I moan to other people. Can I tell you, there's another type of moaning, though? God can cope with your moaning, and God can cope with your grumbling. Because if you bring those issues to the Lord, not to other people, he'll provide. You only need to read the Bible to see that. Because what you do is this, that when you are moaning to other people, you've got a slave mentality. And you're saying, look, I can't do anything about this. Therefore, I'm just going to make myself feel better by moaning to you and to you and to you and to myself. But when you moan to God, you're saying this. I trust you can break through. I trust that you can be the one that can change this situation. And either, Lord, in this situation that I'm struggling with this, I want you to do one of three things. I want you to change me. I want you to change them. I want you to change the situation. But God, you've got to do something. And what you find is this, in the book, in the Bible, God provided. Even when they moaned, even when they said, oh, we don't like this food anymore, God gave them a whole bunch of quails. And all these birds flew in and mysteriously settled. So they started gathering them up and eating them. So instead of like just bread thing that happened in the morning, they had meat. When we moan to one another, we pull down. When we bring them to God, we're saying, God, I can trust you that you can bring a breakthrough. 2 minutes over time. God can miraculously provide. We started today by saying, how free. Angela, you didn't wave at me. Anyway, okay, it's fine. I was looking at me. How free can I become today in Christ? Today is the day of freedom for you. Angela started with that prophetic word is, you can have your cake and eat it. And what God is saying is this, that actually when we come under God's rule, we will know life in such abundance. It might not be the fancy cars and everything else that we really want, but it'd be far, far, far better than that. Can I just ask you to stand with me, please? Holy Spirit, Father, we thank you. The Holy Spirit is just going to come and minister to us. Strongholds are going to be broken. Father, thank you. Come, Lord. In answer to the question, how free can I be? If you are aware of any stronghold, any demonic stronghold in your life, whether, I don't know, whether that's food or moaning or pornography or alcohol or anything, or desire to be liked, or a desire to have likes on Instagram, or that feeds you more than the Holy Spirit. If you feel that you've given yourself to something that actually Jesus would say to you, no, take that away. I want you to be, in a moment, brave and raise your hand. That's all you need to do. In a moment, just raise your hand, and it's what you're going to be doing is you're going to be raising up holy hands, because you have died and you are now hidden in Christ. Those strongholds will be defeated. Those enemies will be defeated. The Israelites could have chosen then to go through the Red Sea and then go back to that. You know, we're just going to go back and live in Egypt again. If they did, they're just idiots. Because God was bringing them through to freedom. The freedom of being sons and daughters. If you're aware of any area like that in your life, any stronghold you think you might have opened yourself up, just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise it. Hirara da bakuro da sturo da kura da kara da ka. Hirara da ha. All you demonic powers, we're not going to give you any attention more than you deserve. We're not going to focus on you. We're not going to spend hours talking to you, but we're simply going to say this: Jesus Christ died and rose again and defeated every single principality and power. And now we say, break chains now. Holy Spirit, come and break chains over our lives, we ask. We command, be gone in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the authority of Jesus Christ to break these addictions over our lives. We cast them out now in Jesus' name. And we say, Jesus, come and reign in our lives. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh, that we would know what it is to be your beloved children. Lord, not have a slave mentality any longer. No longer slaves to sin. No longer slaves to demonic influences. We say, be gone in Jesus' name. And let the life of the Spirit come upon us. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We recognize you have won the victory for us. Oh God, we pray. And Lord, you've set us apart. You've redeemed us. You've set an angel over this place to guard our lives, that we might bring your kingdom and your influence into the darkest of areas. Not that we'd be caught up again, but we would bring your kingdom. Father, thank you. Jesus. Just want to say if there are particular areas where that you know that you had a demonic influence in your life. I know that there are some really specific, helpful sort of like courses to go on, you know, whether it's a 12-step program, or whether it's a program called Click to Kick that helps people who are just really struggling with pornography. Go and get the help. Go and get the help. But know this. Demonic strongholds are defeated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Just checking the song. But we want someone to sing something to finish that is Christ-centered. Jesus lifted on high. Jesus reigning. It's all about Jesus. Lloyd, Cecilia, over to you. And you.